It's never been quicker or easier to generate content to suit whatever message you're selling and make it look innocuous, just like any other crazy video that may or may not be real online. So what if your message is political propaganda? Since the US and Israel's war on Iran, we've seen this in hyperdrive. There's been videos showing Lego depictions of world leaders, official footage from the White House spliced with scenes from Top Gun. And there is a new word for this deeply online phenomenon, slopaganda. The videos are obviously fake. So is slopaganda meaningless? It feels different to the kind of wartime propaganda you might have learnt about in history class. So why is it flooding your feed? Who wins if you end up giggling at videos of a Lego Donald Trump? Well, you're about to hear from one of the people who coined the phrase, but I want to know if you've found it harder to recognise propaganda, if you've seen a rise of this in your social media feed since the start of the war. With me is Mark Alfano, Associate Professor in Philosophy at Macquarie University. Mark, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
So tell me about this new word that you've coined, slopaganda.
it's a bit cheeky, but the idea is to combine propaganda with this more recent term, slop. Slop is supposed to be unwanted generative AI content. So anything that, for instance, a large language model might put out in terms of text or audio or video. And this has become quite prevalent in the last couple of years as these tools have become more powerful and also extremely cheap and easy to use.
So this isn't just a word that you've come up with just for the fun of it. You've worked with some collaborators in your academic life. You've made an academic research paper sort of describing this phenomenon. What were you seeing that made you go, oh, we need to write about this?
Yeah, so I've been working on misinformation and disinformation and propaganda in my philosophical research for over a decade now. And the thing that has struck me in the last 2 years or so is the speed and scale and scope that these new tools make possible. So during World War I, for instance, the Australian government produced war-related propaganda showing the Kaiser reaching out to annex Australia. That poster probably took at least 2 months to produce and distribute. Now, if something happens, any person with an internet connection can produce slopaganda that reaches a million or several million people within 30 minutes. So it's just a different scale and scope that we haven't really seen before.
And even faster than what we might have seen just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so notoriously, there was a group in St. Petersburg that propagandized the U.S. population during the 2016 presidential election. But they were working from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. And they didn't have a deep knowledge of U.S. culture. It seems like they probably had no effect whatsoever, even though they were working full time. Now, with the possibility for anyone to do this and to have it enhanced by artificial intelligence, we're entering a brave new world.
If you're saying, so they were like troll farms, that's what they were calling them back in 2016, which is another fantastic turn of phrase. If you're saying that they didn't really have an impact, then why are you worried about slopaganda, which is so obviously, no one's mistaking these for genuine videos, surely?
Well, I think that's maybe a little bit too optimistic, to be honest with you. So nobody thinks that Donald Trump is a Lego figurine. So the propaganda that's using that kind of content and that sort of depiction is not fooling anyone. But it's also possible to use AI to create deep fakes. So, for instance, Chris Cuomo fell for a deep fake of the U.S. politician AOC. It was a video that made it look like she was giving a speech that would be very, very embarrassing for her if she had actually given that speech in Congress. And he he shared it with millions of people. And when she pointed out that that was fake, he said, well, but it kind of sounds like you. So I think we have to worry about both the cases where people are taken in and mistake generative AI content for authentic content, and also cases where people think that something that actually is authentic is produced by AI, because that just destroys trust in the news.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, chatting with Mark Alfano, who's an associate professor in philosophy at Macquarie University, about a new term that he and his collaborators have coined, slopaganda, i.e. propaganda in this age of AI slop in which we live. I'd love to know if you're seeing it in your feed, how you kind of pass that for yourself when you're looking at it. If you think maybe it's influencing you, that might be something hard for you to know for yourself. Mark, there's an interesting comment on the text line from Dr. Tim Cadman from Griffith University, because we have a very erudite listenership here at Life Matters. He says, it's important to understand that propaganda can sometimes be factual. That's how campaigns in war are won, persuading the public. But by definition, slopaganda can't be true because it's machine-generated based on slop. What do you reckon about that?
Yeah, I think that's right. So propaganda doesn't have to be false. It has to be manipulative. And you can manipulate people both with lies and with truths. Because slopaganda doesn't actually represent anything, it's in a way neither true nor false. But that doesn't mean that it can't influence people's emotions, their attention, their values, their dispositions to engage in political activity. So it can still be harmful even if it's not, strictly speaking, false.
What sorts of messages or moods are you most concerned about when you're looking at the videos that you're seeing online at the moment?
The stuff that gets the most attention is things that are emotionally engaging, especially things that evoke negative emotions like contempt or disgust or anger or hatred. And given that slopaganda can be micro-targeted based on someone's digital footprint, their search history, their emails, their purchasing on Amazon, essentially anything that can be measured about them, it's possible to figure out a profile for someone and give them micro-targeted slopaganda that is for them and people who are very similar to them. So, for instance, a couple of years ago during the 2024 U.S. presidential campaign, people who were supporters of Israel were targeted with political advertising that on Twitter that that was keyed to anti-Palestinian sentiment, while people who were supporters of Palestine were given propaganda political ads that were anti-Zionist. And that was by the same company. Mm. So what seems to engage people is things that upset them. And in this current era, it's very easy to figure out what will upset someone and then feed them that kind of ad based on current events.
It's funny, the word slop, I feel like, is a bit of a misnomer because it sounds like it's something that you would never value. But what I'm hearing from you is it's actually so finely tuned that it can slip between your defenses without you realizing.
Yeah, I mean, so the guy who coined the term slop 2 years ago, year and a half ago, he wanted to compare it to spam. So spam is unwanted email. And his idea was that slop is unwanted generative AI content. But then the question is how close the analogy is. So almost no one actually likes spam. There's a almost universal consensus that we don't want spam. But there are people who, when they get AI slop, they're more than happy to consume it. So, you know, you think about like the difference between someone who says, you know, send me another Nigerian prince scam versus someone who is interested in consuming lots of AI slop. It's just, it's not a perfect analogy. And then the question is like, okay, well, but it's unwanted, but who doesn't want it? Is it the person who's consuming it? Is it the person who's producing it? Is it the regulatory agencies? Is it government? This is a really difficult question to answer.
So it's a concern because it's potentially manipulating us. There's a huge volume of it, which means it's hard to get away from it. And it's potentially very, very finely tuned to our own interests and weaknesses. In your paper, you outlined three interventions to combat slopaganda. What kind of things are you recommending?
Yeah, so I think we need to have a sort of multi-prong approach to this. So at the level of the individual, things like digital literacy are going to become even more important than they already are. Just being able to recognize this stuff for what it is and therefore not be influenced by it is going to be really important. there's also individual interventions that focus on what in philosophy we call things like intellectual humility. I've studied this for years now, and it turns out that people who are more intellectually humble are able to resist this kind of manipulation better than those who are less humble. In addition, I think it's not fair to put the responsibility solely on the individual. So I think that regulation needs to come in and start doing things like watermarking generative AI content, so it's really obvious that you're seeing AI rather than something authentic. And then at the level of economics and society, I think that we need to be aware of the fact that it's only a couple of companies, just a handful, that control the global supply of the tools that make this possible. And whenever you have a monopoly or a near monopoly of this sort, bad things happen for society. So that suggests to me, at least, that we need better regulation of these companies, possibly breaking them up or turning them into public-private partnerships.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for sharing your insights. Mark Alfano is Associate Professor in Philosophy at Macquarie University.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.